Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
It is a game day, Calgary Flames and the Montreal Canadiens. Coney Hatch, the artist of the day. Ontario Rockers. Right now, we chat with Derek Wills.
The Flames Insider is brought to you by Varsity's Holy Truck Sale, featuring the 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Game day. Love it when the Habs come to town. The Habs fans come out in full force, and then the Flames fans, well, they can't be outnumbered in their own building, and they can't be drowned out, so they come strong. Going to be a good one tonight. The Habs played last night. Derek, I'm sure you watched kind of some pre-scouting. What did you see out of Montreal against the Edmonton Oilers?
Not much. It certainly wasn't their best game. I suspect they probably took the Oilers a little bit lightly and did not look all that pumped up to play that game last night. So I suggest they will be a little more ready to play the Flames tonight. I think that the Oilers are feeling pretty good about themselves right now. They've won four in a row. The Canadians, well, they've had a couple of stinkers. They've played in 5 one-goal games. They've played in 2 two-goal games, and they won all 7 of those games. And then their 2 losses have been lopsided, 7-1 and 3-0. So I suspect that Michel Therrien will have them ready to go tonight. I don't see them taking 2 teams in a row too lightly.
And we expect it'll be Carey Price. Much like the Flames, there will be a rotation in net. It was Dustin Tokarski last night. Carey Price tonight, and interesting that Carey Price hasn't had a lot of success in Alberta. He's been one of the finest goaltenders in the league for some time, but has not had a great time here in Alberta.
Well, I think you just jinxed him there, but we'll see how he does tonight.
Sure.
Dustin Tokarski played last night, so it does look like Carey Price will get the start tonight, and that leads to a great matchup in goal with Price at one end and, of course, Hiller at the other as the Flames' goaltending rotation continues. Unlike the Flames, though, the Canadians certainly have a clear number one goaltender in Carey Price, and like you said, he is a world-class goaltender, and it'll be tough to beat him tonight, but the Flames just have to execute better than they did in their last game. I think if they can execute and the passing sharper than it was a few nights ago, then they've got a chance to compete in this hockey game tonight. And if they can get a win against one of the top teams in the league, going into last night's game, the Canadians were tied for first overall. That'll be a big boost to their confidence and help maybe in the final game of their homestand.
Between injuries, illness, and maintenance, there were some bodies absent at practice yesterday.
Yeah, the good news is David Jones has been cleared and will be back in the lineup tonight against the Canadiens, so it's good to have number 19 back. But that comes at the loss of Mason Raymond, who we thought was just having a maintenance day yesterday, but then in his post-practice scrum, Bob Hartley said that he's out with an upper body injury, and when asked if he had a chance to play tonight, he said it's doubtful, so that certainly doesn't sound good. And Michael Backlund had a maintenance day yesterday. I suspect it's that injury, the abdominal injury, that was bothering him during a training camp in the preseason. And he's been playing well, so I suspect that if they mix a bit of rest in there, they're hoping that that's going to be okay moving forward. As for Paul Byron, he was just sick yesterday. So unless it's something severe, we expect he'll be good to go tonight.
And Dennis Wiedemann, who has been to a certain extent a whipping boy, certainly didn't have a great season a year ago, injuries and inconsistent play, but he's been anything but inconsistent so far, and he can flirt with Flames history tonight.
Yeah, he scored in 4 straight games, and he has 5 goals in his last 6 games, and ever since being a healthy scratch, Dennis Wiedemann has really turned the corner. And you know, I was one of the guys who kept saying, okay, you know, it's only the preseason. Give these veterans a little bit longer leash. Let's see what they do during the regular season. And he certainly was in the mix because he wasn't very good in the preseason. And then he wasn't very good in the first game of the regular season. So Bob Hartley scratches him for game two against the Oilers. But since then, he's been just terrific. And it goes beyond all the goals he's been scoring. He's got 5 goals in the season now, one more than he had in 46 games last season. But he's just contributing more. He's blocking shots. He's, you know, skating the puck out of his own zone better, making that good first pass. So he's really given Flames a terrific number two defense pairing. We all know about Brody and Giordano, and Russell had really emerged as the clear-cut number three defenseman, but now Weidman's playing really well, and that's a pretty good 1-2 punch with those top two defense pairings. And I think it takes some pressure off the third defense pairing as well of Ladislav Schmid and Derek Engelin, and now they're able to kind of slide into a slot and play against the people they're supposed to play against. So Weidman tonight, we'll see if he can, like you said, flirt with history, and if he can score for the fifth straight game, that really would be something. And, hey, I'll just throw this in there as well. It might increase his trade value if they decide they want to make a deal.
I see.
Get him out of here.
Yeah. Poor Wides. Poor Wide Dog.
Boomer brought up Michael Ferland's name. He's having a great start to the season down in Adirondack. Has there been any talk about him around the dome?
I've heard a little bit of talk amongst the media, but here's the problem. With David Jones coming off IR, they need to move somebody off the roster unless somebody is going to take his place on IR. So right now they have a problem with too many bodies, not a problem with not enough bodies. But, you know, Michael Ferland is a guy who I think will be here at some point in time. He had a really good Young Stars Classic, was really good during the preseason, and you know, I think he's probably gone down to Adirondack and gained even more confidence playing for the AHL's Flames. So when he comes up, he might be one of those guys who, you know, gets sent down to start the season and then he gets recalled and never gets sent down again. So, you know, he's a guy who certainly plays a Flame style of hockey. He's truculent. We don't seem to use that word all that often anymore. And a guy who showed us during the preseason that from time to time he can put the puck in the net as well. So I think it's a good mix moving forward, and I suspect we'll probably see him sooner rather than later. But right now, it's a numbers game from him, just too many bodies.
7 o'clock tonight, the Habs coming in. P.K. Subban, truly one of those guys, and there's a number of them in the league. You pay admission to see him. I remember last year's game, and he was everything.
The last year,
he was the best player on the ice. He was the worst player on the ice. He was disciplined. He took too many penalties. He did it all last year. It was an amazing night for PK Subban. We got to see the full show.
Yeah, it sounds like Pernell Carl, and I had a chance to watch him for a full year with Hamilton Bulldogs. And I'll tell you this, he did make a lot of mistakes. Now, it's maybe a little bit easier to recover when you make a mistake in the AHL than it is in the NHL, but you know, he's a prime example that a little more time in the American Hockey League doesn't hurt anybody. He pretty much spent a full season in the AHL, and then he got called up in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you'll remember, and just started to tear it up. But you know, he's the guy who's so much fun to watch. I think that he is the best prospect that I ever saw play during my 13 seasons in the AHL. You could just see that he was almost too good for the league, but he has some things that he had to learn. And now he's definitely one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League and maybe the most fun player to watch because, like you said, he can do some really good things, but from time to time he's going to make a mistake, which makes the game more exciting to watch. But you know, he's just a very unique talent. He's a smart guy. His parents are both teachers. So you know, he knows what's going on out there, and I think he takes calculated risks, and he's doing a better job of that as he gets a little bit older and more mature both on and off the ice. But definitely a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing here tonight.
Yeah, me too. It will be a great night to be at the Dome for sure. We'll be ready for it. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
The Flames Insider is brought to you by Varsity's Holy Truck Sale, featuring the 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Geo shops there. Varsity, he's always there. His wife's like, hey, where's Mark? Where's Mark? It's supper time. Where's Mark? Oh, he's at Varsity Chrysler.
Where's
shopping?
Geo?
Shopping. Geo shopping at Varsity Chrysler.
Do you think these guys had a Halloween?
Ooh.
Halloween
party?
They got a big gap because they play tonight. They don't play again until Friday. So if they're going to do it, it might be tomorrow night. Wouldn't that make sense on your schedule, Retro?
If it's got, yeah, that's what I was wondering because you got to have a couple days in between. I thought maybe on a Saturday they would have done it. But
how were your Halloween parties? I'm guessing you would be like the host. Everybody would have to kind of, you would set the bar for costumes and parties and that sort of thing.
Well, we, the one time we bought that house in Elbow Park, old teardown house, and had the party there.
Yeah.
Didn't go over well.
Now that one, so you bought the house? Refresh my memory on this
bought
story.
It was going to build on the lot. But before that, we're like, well, we might as well have the Halloween party here.
So what? How was the house when you bought it?
Well, it was an old decrepit.
Yeah.
Beat up house. And so we had someone come in and deck it all out. What do you call that?
Decorate.
Decorate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not you were almost there.
Deck it.
You needed a couple more.
Decorate it.
A couple more syllables, you'd have had it. Anyway.
Anyways, by the time Kipper had one pop in his hand, he started trashing things because he knew we were going to tear it down. So started breaking windows. The cops showed up. It was less than well received in the community
with the new neighbors.
Yeah.
What was Kipper wearing?
What was
you remember
Kipper
what
wearing?
He was wearing?
I don't
Halloween costume?
No, fight
as he's smashing windows and
I know there was a couple big fights because we had the sumo wrestler things.
Oh yeah.
So we had some good scraps on the front lawn in the sumo wrestling outfits. So it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I bet it was.
Till the next morning when the neighbor called and yelled at me to come clean up the glass off his grass.
Yeah.
So
you know how to throw a party. You doing any of that in the condo now?
Well, I was thinking, do you guys want to come over and we'll...
Yeah, we'll have a Halloween party.
Bob for apples.
Sounds pretty creepy, actually.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but I am.
I've got an update with our sign.
Could you?
For the pinder shaming.
Now, again, for people just tuning in, tell us what you're talking about.
Rhett and I played in fantasy football this week, and Rhett won, and we put a bet on the line. The loser would have to remove their shirt and hold a sign that says, I loves the other person's name.
Yeah.
So I've concocted the sign. I'm ready to go shirtless in cold weather on the corner of 5th and 7th at 8:40. And the sign, the marker we had to use, because it's such a big sign, absolutely stinky. So I placed it outside of our studio after... You know, we got a little buzz on in here in the main lobby. And I went out there to get some printing that I'd done on the break. And security was calling in some kind of an odor that they could not identify. Now, I had overheard this and said, do you think this might be my sign over here? And she said, well, the sign. And yes, we've identified the source of the odor. It is just a sign that says, I love Rhett. So
who were they calling? These
I don't know.
The
security,
smell police?
Well, so they have to check in on things, I'm sure. Like if someone was to barge through the doors and try to tackle Rhett, the security would have to deal with that in a certain way. I guess they have some sort of odor protocol to follow.
Well, I know the other morning we had a serious moment. Security had to come in and let us know that there was a disturbance outside.
Mm.
So they took Jason away from the deck.
Yes.
Jason went outside and apparently there was a let's say the opposite of wealthy gentleman out on the street who wanted to know if we had anything that we could, any autographed goods that we could give him. Any kind of,
it was for charity.
Merchandise. Apparently for charity. Hard to say. Was not wearing a badge to signify that he was, with any specific charity.
Seems like an odd campaigning hour to be going door to door.
Yeah, like 6:15. Bit
not
of a
normal.
Weird time.
Yeah.
Red is not here.
Thought about?
Well, he had two Reuben rolls in a hurry.
And he left in a hurry.
He grabbed Jason's pass card and went running out of the room. You can't make it up. He's not here. It's 8:15. We have 5 minutes left in this segment, and he's been gone for 3 minutes. He does six segments a day, and he's missing this one because he's on. He's got a growler going. An animal. News out of Edmonton. If you're dying, news out of Edmonton is
like a decision to make here coming up.
Leon Draisaitl has played 9 NHL games. Last night is 9th, and I think we are all aware. Much like last year, what are you going to do with Sean Monahan?
Monahan. Is he going up? Is he going down? Is he
staying? Because you play 10 games, contract kicks in. You can send him down after that, but you're still going to have to pay him all year.
So you may as well
it's
keep
one
him.
Year off the entry level. He has 3 points in 9 games, a goal, and a -4 rating. but apparently was quite strong last night in the game against Montreal. He has kind of solidified himself as their number two center, which doesn't take a lot right now, but has played okay and well enough to, in the eyes of the Edmonton Oilers, earn a spot for this season. He is staying. They will trigger year one. So once again, they will be keeping a... Now, they did not with Darnell Nurse.
No.
But Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov, and now Dreisaitl all staying as 19-year-olds.
I would feel more comfortable with their decision if they had an alternative for second-line center. They really don't. Sam Gagner left, and now what is it, Mark Arcabello or Boyd Gordon? Like, sorry,
pretty much, yeah.
Those are not second-line centers in the West if you're going to be competitive. So while I could believe that Leon Dreisaitl, drafted by Team A, could make the NHL this year rather than a fourth-year junior, I just wonder about if Edmonton might be really wanting him to make the team more than he's earned his job on the team, given their lack of centers that can play a top 6 minutes and roll. I don't know. It's not ideal.
We mentioned Michael Ferland in the conversation with Derek Wills. Just to give you the up-to-date stats, he is leading the team in scoring in 8 games, 3 goals and 7 points, a +6 and 9 PIMs. So he is he's a big part of just about everything there, it seems, as he's getting points, goals, PIMs, and the +6. Again, it's 8 games. But it's not -6. So it would seem to maybe indicate that he's on the right side of things. And you wonder when the time comes. Because every year it's, okay, get into better shape, and he did, and then it's get more consistent, and then it's go down to the A, and if not dominate, then play strong, and he has done that. The other, from the fan feedback line, 960-960, how's Sven Berge doing? Well, he got his first point of the season, a couple games ago. 8 games, he has 1 assist, and is -9. So, I guess those would be your 2 comparables, as to who's performing well and who isn't.
That's fair.
Thus far in Adirondack.
Yeah. And the one thing with Ferland is the consistency is what they've wanted from him, and it looks like he's given them that, out of the gate at least, which is a good thing for his future.
And just in time for the commercial break, Rhett Warner's back.
That was an emergency.
How was that?
Wonderful.
Are you sweating?
Not anymore.
Was that hard work or effortless, that one? How would you...
too much information.
Hey, did you...
No!
Because I'm betting that was not a lot of work. But that like many things in life, that came easy for you.
Just getting there.
Yeah.
Was the...
Yeah. Eric DeHatchick on the way. The Pinder Walk. Shirtless Pinder in the streets of Calgary with his I Love Rhett t-shirt because he lost at fantasy football. And we'll double back on DeForest and I. We also had a bet going in fantasy football.
He looks good on Twitter.
We'll do that as well. Game day, Flames, Habs, 7 o'clock at the Dome tonight. We've got it for you, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Coney Hatch, the artist of the day.
It's not Warrant? Where the Down Boys go?
This is not the Down Boys. This is Coney Hatch. I believe this song,
What's the name of this one?
I think this is called Monkey Bars.
Listen.
All right, yeah.
It's not bad. I like this.
You like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I figured
it's
you would.
Good.
Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock tonight. Flames. That's what I was going to say. Flames taking on the Montreal Canadiens.
First place Montreal Canadiens.
You want to, now, one of the radio hosts in Montreal, Tony Marinaro,
oh, yeah,
put this tweet out about 5 minutes ago. I'd make Rene Bork a healthy scratch tonight versus his former team, and I wouldn't replace him. Message. I'd rather play one man less than play with Rennie. Ah, that's nice.
Turns quickly, doesn't it?
Miss him, don't you?
This is your kind of guy, Boom.
Who, Tony or Rennie?
Tony!
Yeah, he, apparently not a fan. Do we need the Rennie Bork stat update? Because I can give it to you if you'd like.
Please do, Dean. I would like to...
Maybe we could get this sponsored, our... Montreal Canadiens, Rennie Bork, 8 games, 0 goals, 1 assist, minus 6.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rennie Bork of the Montreal Canadiens. Let's talk to Eric DeHatchick.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider Eric DeHatchick is brought to you by Eastside Kia. The Gear Up and Save event is on. Save $3,000 on a 2014 Kia Forte LX Auto and get a low payment of just $57 weekly. Visit eastsidekia.ca.
Eric DeHatchick, for some reason, is in Las Vegas, which makes me very angry. I'm
Jimmy Buffett.
Blood red mad, but good for you. How's Vegas?
It's been fantastic. So I think I told you last week I was coming down for my 40th high school reunion. So there's 6 of us that have been down here since Friday, and we've been having a pretty good time, seeing shows, just doing the Vegas thing.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Boy, 5 days in Vegas. You're a trooper.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be back tonight. I'll be back tonight.
Best show.
You know what? You know what? The one thing that hasn't changed here is that unless you're in like a Marriott or a Westin or one of the hotels that we normally stay in when I'm traveling for the NHL, you cannot find hockey on television down here. You know, it's unbelievable. I'm so used to having the NHL Network or if you're back in Canada, one of the cable networks that gives you the highlights every night. And so you've seen it all, everything that's happened. Here you're searching, ESPN shows like a 20-second hockey clip in the 1 hour Sports Center or something like that. That has not changed. We were out for dinner the other night before the Buffett show in a Mexican restaurant because we were drinking margaritas, and there was one hockey game on in this bar, and it was, hey, it was Calgary Washington, look, and then all of a sudden click, and it became college football. So I saw 30 seconds of the Flames Washington game, and that is it. And so I don't know, you talk about the NHL and you talk about Vegas, and the hockey presence here is still very, very small.
The idea behind Vegas is there's you go there and you have better things to do than watch hockey, right?
Yeah, well, I still like to keep on top of my fantasy.
Yeah.
A few things like that.
Keep
but
on
anyway,
talking, you're renting.
It's just but you get used to it, right? You get used to having it around everywhere. When it was on Versus, you couldn't find it. The idea was that you switch to the NBC Sports Network and it becomes a bit more ubiquitous. I have not found that yet, at least not here. It's different, as I say, when you're on the regular circuit and you're one of the major chains, they generally have the NBC Network and you do see a little bit more, but not here. But you know what you've done, by the way? I heard you talking before I came on the air. You've jinxed him. You've absolutely jinxed him. You know Rennie Bork well enough to know that he can have these really long, cold patches, and then all of a sudden, it just clicks, and then there's a 2-week period, and Rennie Bork becomes, mid-career Jerome McGinley, and it's a goal again.
You know what, Eric?
The minute you start to say it's not going to happen, it happens.
If I've got that kind of influence, I'm coming to Vegas. And I'm bringing a lot of money because it's going to take more than me talking about Rennie Bork. I wanted to ask you, Olli Mäta, the young 20-year-old defenseman in Pittsburgh, news yesterday, which, I mean, you pause and say, oh, it's terrible news or whatever you want to call it, but it's scary news for sure that here's a young man, 20, and is going to have a tumor removed from his neck. They're saying it's not it's not cancerous, or they're hoping it's not cancerous, but... that's got to be tough on a young man, only 20. He put on a brave face yesterday, but between Chris Letang last year and now this, it's been some touchy moments for the Pittsburgh Penguins health-wise.
I did see that, actually. And my first thought was, Phil Kessel had that early in his career. We had the surgery on his testicles, came through it fine. Saku Koivu had it early, mid-career, came through it fine. Mario had the, Hodgkin's lymphoma, came through it fine. So, you cross your fingers and you hope that, that it happens for Olli Mäta too. But you're right. I mean, when you're starting out sort of prime of life, I think you probably feel invincible And you know, now that this is a setback, and it's not just a career setback where, you know, 4 to 6 weeks and you're back, you're staring sort of into that mirror of your mortality, and you know, who knows what happens next. But, you know, I guess the recent history of this and NHL players has, and the fact that the collective knowledge about cancer is such that, you know, if you find it early enough, you know, you hope for a positive result. And, you know, I don't know what else there is to say other than, you know, hopes and prayers are with him that he comes through this and resumes his career, in short order once he recovers.
Elsewhere in the National Hockey League, John Scott gets suspended. Now, were you aware of this, that you couldn't...
You know what? I was aware of that. Maybe I've been watching more hockey than I think. Yeah, I was aware that there was a blood fest in Anaheim, San Jose. I wasn't surprised because, you know, San Jose had gone so south for them in a short period of time after, you know, a very promising start. And Anaheim is one of the teams that they have developed a bit of a rivalry with. Obviously, you know, they went right down to the wire at the top of the Pacific Division. So, and the fact remains, San Jose signed John Scott, you know, to create mayhem when they felt that, you know, that needed to be done in that organization. I was talking to this with Rob Kerr about this, and it's for me, it's amazing how you had so many unemployed enforcers in the National Hockey League this year. You know, so if you're San Jose, you really have you can pick and choose, right? Because you know the way the game has evolved, you know, those players are becoming obsolete. So why settle on John Scott? I mean, he, you know, in terms of hockey playing ability, has to be, you know, near the bottom. You know, they could have got Kevin Westgaard, and, you know, any number of these guys that, you know, that is, you know, that are unemployed right now seeking work. And yet I think that they got him because he, you know, probably was the most frightening of the bunch, the greatest nuclear deterrent, if, you know, you want to use the term that people use. So, you know, and John Scott, when he signs with San Jose, knows what his role is. And so in a situation like that, you know, who is surprised that we get to this point?
The Buffalo Sabres visit the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And as you can imagine, in Toronto, the sports talk shows, including our sister station, feel like there's a better than 50-50 chance that if the Leafs lose at home to the lowly Sabres, that could be it for Randy Carlyle behind the bench. Your thoughts?
Well, all of my buddies are from Toronto, and so they've been quizzing me about what's been going on with the Leafs and what's happening next with them. And like my theory had always been that people wondered, okay, why was Randy Carlyle retained when it looked as if he was going to be fired? I think that, you know, that at the way things went last year, the bottom fell out on the Leafs. Everyone felt that the fall guy would be Randy Carlyle, and then they waited and they waited and they waited, and they didn't fire him after all. I thought, and I forget who it was that painted the scenario to me, but it seemed really plausible, that what was happening in Toronto was that they were waiting to see how San Jose would play it out. So, you know, when San Jose had that epic collapse against Los Angeles in the playoffs, they had promised changes. And one of the changes, I think, it was about a 50-50 shot that Todd McClellan would not be back as the coach of the San Jose Sharks. And Todd McClellan, because of his connection with Detroit and Brendan Shanahan, who played there, I think the feeling was that Toronto didn't fire Randy because they were waiting to see if Todd McClellan came available. And if that had happened, I think Todd McClellan would be coaching the Leafs, and probably Randy Carlyle would have been coaching the Florida Panthers. So it's one of those really weird, rare times where teams decided that, no, we're going to take the high road. We're not firing the coach. And the coaches are like, what? We didn't get fired? So I do think that they were contemplating a coaching change at the end of last year, and just the right guy didn't come available in Toronto. And that's how Randy Carlyle got this second life. And so I would say that, you know, that he has been on a short leash really since the start of the season. And and of course, you know, everyone knows that the projection is that it might be Mike Babcock that eventually gets that job in time. So I guess we'll see. You know, it's hard to predict these things because Brendan Shanahan doesn't have much of a track record as a head of hockey operations. I'm assuming that the decision, even if it's going to officially be announced by the general manager, has to be filtered through him because he's head of the hockey department. So, yeah, I would say, you know, they seem to be waiting for the other shoe to drop. But, you know, that presupposes that Toronto's going to lose to Buffalo, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's the thing you always have to throw in. Okay, we're going to fire him. Let's fire him.
Right.
A, are you going to get the desired response from the firing? And number two, who are you going? Because you know they're waiting for Babcock at the end of the year.
Right.
So yeah. what kind of a lame duck coach worth anything of his salt is going to take the Leafs' job for the final 70 games of a season?
Yeah, well, in a situation like that, the same, I assume, as with Philadelphia last year and Peter Laviolette, you know, you elevate one of the assistants to the head coaching job and then see how it goes. I mean, Craig Berube probably got that job when Peter Laviolette was let go, and, you know, I think they made a commitment to him at that time. But, you know, you have a chance to prove yourself. I mean, if you're in a system that's never worked in the National Hockey League before and they give you the opportunity to become an NHL head coach, I think the answer has to be yes. Because you think, especially if you aspire to be a head coach, you think that, you know, your message, your philosophy, your approach can turn things around. And you don't know what the, you know, you can, you know, again, you were saying it earlier, you can look in the crystal ball all you want. I mean, if it is turned around and you do make the playoffs and suddenly you win a round or two, or if, you know, Mr. Ilitch comes to Mike Babcock and says, you know, plays the loyalty card and convinces him to stay after all, you just don't know. You know, you don't know. And so I think anybody, there's 30 head coaching jobs in the National Hockey League. I don't think you'd have a hard time filling that vacancy if there becomes one later today, tomorrow, the next day.
Staying on this topic, is Toronto desirable enough for Mike Babcock? I mean, what are they going to offer him there? Is the team good enough? You know he's going to want to win. He's going to get money wherever he chooses to go. So it can't be just money.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I would say it's two things. You know, one, it would be money. You know, I think that, you know, he probably would get the, you know, like the highest salary ever for an NHL coach. You're probably $4 million plus, you know, over a 5-year term. So, you know, like star player money, you know, something that, you know, coaches are starting to be compensated extreme, you know, well, a lot better than 20 years ago. But I think that this would establish a new height for coaching compensation. So I think that would be part of the equation. But I also think the challenge would be part of the equation. I mean, you know, I think Mike Babcock speaks about legacies and, you know, has an understanding of NHL history, you know, as good as anyone else's. And, you know, I remember something Cliff Fletcher told me when he went to take the Toronto job. The person that turns it around in Toronto, the person that, you know, that can win a championship that to end a long drought there, you know, they'll build a statue to that person. And so, you know, lots of people have tried, lots of people have failed. You know, it's getting to be a ridiculous number in terms of the years between championships since 1967. And so, you know, Babcock would look at that and say, you know, I want to tackle that. I want to take that on. You know, I think he would trust Brendan Shanahan because they have a relationship from when Shanahan was in Detroit. There are some pieces there. It's possible that with Mike Babcock as the coach, you might be able to lure a different class of free agent to Toronto. You have the clout of the Toronto wallet that, you know, theoretically should be able to make them better. Hasn't, but, you know, theoretically should. And so I absolutely think that that he would go there. I absolutely think that.
Eric, enjoy what's left of your time in Vegas, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
All righty. Yeah, hope you don't have snow on the ground by then, by the way.
Now you've jinxed it.
All right.
Thanks. Eric. 8:40, Eric Duhacek. When we come back, so much to get to. We got to talk about Wild Rose Brewery. We've got to talk about fantasy football betting. And more importantly, we need to get Pinder topless and on a street corner. And we'll accomplish that feat next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
It is 8:46.
I was so wrong about the artist of the day.
What's that?
I get it now.
Now you like Coney Hatch?
I'm on.
Because you recognize this song, right?
Well, it's the sound that they have. It's familiar. But I'm into it. Because I feel like I know the words, and this is the first time I've heard the song.
I would say this is their biggest hit. It's called Monkey Bars.
Really?
Yeah.
Good work on Jay.
You've heard this before, right?
Oh, it was a top hit.
Yeah,
in
you know this one,
right? I know this.
It's called Monkey Bars.
Are you sure? Monkey Bars.
What's the artist's name again?
This is Coney Hatch, Ryan.
Oh, Coney Hatch. Yeah.
Where do you count them? By the Monkey Bars. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. It is. Time to get serious. Last week, Thursday, Ryan Pinder went to air and threw down the gauntlet, went after you.
He did.
In a very aggressive fashion.
Verbally assaulted.
Come on.
Said that because you were playing him in fantasy football in our media league, there needed to be some sort of a wager put on the game.
Yeah. Called me out.
Now, it was your idea to do the outside thing, right?
Yeah, he wanted to go for beers. And I'm going to spend 2 hours a day with you already.
That's enough.
Hanging with Pinder and not getting paid for it?
I was just thinking.
I don't know who does that.
If you were drinking, it'd be easier to handle another 2 hours with me.
True.
Nonetheless, the bet was the loser is going to have to go out in the street, cross the street, which we're right on 7th Avenue.
You can hear the C-trains.
And 5th. The C-trains go by all the time. So you had to go and stand on the corner. Without a shirt on, holding a sign saying, I love whomever the other person might be.
That's right. It's, by the way, my phone, the temperature right now, -6.
Ooh, good stuff.
We did not know it was going to be
-6
on Thursday.
No, I wasn't expecting that.
It was very pleasant on Thursday.
We also didn't nail down how long you're going to have to stay out there.
We thought the full length of a pedestrian walk sign.
Yeah, I don't think that's long enough.
I thought it was,
let's,
we have to wait for a train to get by.
So let's do this.
Okay.
I want to get you on the phone because we need to include people. So turn off your microphone.
Okay, I'm done.
Grab your sign.
Get to work, boy.
And your phone. And he's going to go out to the opposite corner. Now, if you're familiar with this area, it would be right across the street, I guess, from the courthouse. Calgary courthouse.
Yes. He's probably
many of our listeners will know exactly where that is.
Many of our listeners are in there.
And thanks for listening to all the shut-ins and everyone killing time at the courthouse. So, yes. Pinder,
I think that I messed up, right? Like, after I won this, which I was a little skeptical on Sunday.
I was close.
Too close. I started calling guys, and I had a guy that was going to come down and soak him when he was standing
there. Yeah. Well, somebody tweeted, it's like, I'm going to come down there and douse him with a bucket of water.
Look at him. There he is. Where's he going?
I don't know where he's going.
Oh, he's going the wrong way.
He's making eye contact with Jay because what we're going to do, we're going to get him on the phone here.
Okay.
And then we'll send him outside, and you are in a perfect vantage point.
I love this. This is great. I honestly did not want to have to do this. I got on a flight home on Sunday, and his two guys, his quarterback was playing, and they were lighting it up. And they almost caught me. Hello, right. Ryan.
Retro, I thought I had you. We had Drew Brees needing one touchdown with 8 minutes to play, or Randall Cobb, and they decided to go to the backup quarterback and run the ball on both sides. So I was screwed, needless to say.
Randall Cobb scared me because at the start of the game, he early on caught a touchdown.
All right, that's enough.
It's very busy out here. There's a lot of people nearby.
You win. Pinder lost. So now we need you to go to the corner.
Can you see me? I'm over here.
Well, there you are.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. The train just exited here.
All right. Get that shirt off.
Let's get disrobed here.
The
train.
There's the train. All right.
Now,
I'm putting the phone down.
All right. DeForest is going outside to take some pictures or do a Vine video of this.
That's very kind of him.
Yeah, okay.
So just hang on. I'm going to remove clothes here in public. All right.
So he's put his phone down in a shirt.
Here it is. There's the body.
I have the shirt off now.
And looking great, phone, by the way.
My breath is showing in the air. All right. Here's the I Love Rhett sign. I've got that nice and high. I hope you can see that. There's the traffic over here. We better say hi to each other, too. I love Rhett. I just want everyone to know.
We should make you do all four corners of that street. Why don't you walk across and do all four corners of this?
I don't know that I need to do any more than one corner here. It's quite cold. We'll give it.
You're not really on the corner, though.
All right, I'll get over to the corner. We'll get some
where the car is
nearby.
Honk if you love rat is what the sign says.
Honk if you love rat. Okay. I'm now facing traffic, and people are staring at me very awkwardly.
Oh, there's people taking pictures of you.
Oh, hi there. How are you doing?
There's a young lady.
All right. This is quite humiliating, Rat. I hope you enjoyed your win.
And all right, face.
Look at that. It's the red light. I'm putting my shirt back.
No. Face the building because I need to get a picture.
All right, hurry up then.
Is it cold?
Yeah, it's cold. It's -6, Rat, you dummy.
Let's do this again.
10 seconds, you jerk. 9.
Okay, just hang on, because my camera phone's not working.
He doesn't know how to work a phone camera.
That boomer stuff isn't working. Okay. That's sufficient humiliation. Very good. See you in the playoffs.
I really need a picture. My camera's not working.
Dude, put his phone down. It's over. I thought it was good.
Is it over?
Oh, boy. I'm still here.
Well, and I want to hang up on you, but I can't, because Jay's outside, so now I got to talk to you.
Well, just hang up on me. That's easy.
No, because if he hangs up now, the phone's going to go beep, beep, beep.
Didn't we do that once?
Yes.
Where we got in all kinds of trouble? It beeped for like an hour. No, they're coming. There's the walk light.
See, all now, good. That was good.
That's better.
I rather enjoyed that.
I loved it. I'm quite happy it wasn't me.
Oh, yeah.
No good.
Yeah, and I play you next week. None of this nonsense. None of that nonsense. So we will, well done. He's back.
Put your jacket on.
So how cold is it?
My hands are cold.
Is it brisk? Ooh, it is cold.
Is it -6?
Oh, she's there, yeah.
Ooh.
The people that are just fresh out of the shower, off the C train, they've read the paper, they've had their coffee, their hair is perfectly affixed, they didn't even know what to think.
There was two people that stopped on this corner and started taking
pictures of you.
There was more shock than really revulsion or any sort of disgust.
So, Jay, what are we going to throw up here? Do we have a Vine video? Do we have picture?
Oh, this is Vine. It should already be up.
All right.
Boy, the world works quickly.
All right. So,
I love social media.
I hate Randall Cobb.
So now you're 0-2 in these fantasy football bets.
That's all right. That means I'm due. I have to get crazier and more outlandish because I am going to win one of these.
Are you?
Absolutely. My team's
so whenever
ready.
You play Jason's beard, it should be guaranteed win night.
Well, that was me last week. I played Jason's beard, and the bet was somewhat less embarrassing. The loser was going to have to change their Twitter pick to the selection picked by the winner.
I can see it.
To find this photo.
Is that beautiful or what?
Is I searched on Google Image bearded hippie. And that is one of the first ones that came up. And I feel it really kind of captures
very fitting.
Jason DeForest, who in fairness could pass for a bearded hippie. I went bearded hipster and it actually looked like him.
Mm.
So then I had to change it to hippie, and it was much more what I was looking for.
He's got a tie-dye headband, a tie-dye shirt, a leather jacket, long hair, and a massive beard giving the peace sign.
I can't believe we didn't have the TV cameras rolling on.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you guys aren't, prepared ever. So otherwise there would have been a camera there to embarrass me.
It's true.
More than Jay sufficiently probably has on the Boomer Rat Twitter account.
Well, it's good to see you're doing your push-ups, sit-ups.
A little run yesterday.
Yeah. Body by milk.
Body by bag of milk.
Yeah.
It's all right. You want to have a 5K run? We'll have a little race.
Did you do that yet?
What's that?
This marathon thing?
What are you talking about?
I thought you were doing some kind of run.
No, I was ramping up doing some longer runs, but my knees don't like it.
Mm.
Things fell apart?
5K is all I need.
Or you got dumped?
Oh, dear. And the photos are showing up on the internet.
So,
Jesus.
All right. So tonight, the Flames and Habs. What do we see? Predictions for tonight's matchup.
Just for win or loss.
Yeah,
I think the Habs win. Well, yeah. Carey Price is gonna come out of his shell in Alberta and finally get a victory.
Hmm.
Can't lose forever, can he? Subban, be a great atmosphere.
Great rink. Great Yeah, like there's no doubt about it, because Flames fans, as soon as the other team starts cheering, well, it's on, we can't let that happen. And I think the Flames win this one tonight. Two games in as many nights on the road. They got blanked last night. I don't think they'll play quite to the level they did against the Oilers, but Hiller's been good, and I think the Flames are due for a good game.
Flames trivia. Who played their first game as a Flame against the Montreal Canadiens?
Rhett Warner.
A big name. It's not just
Rhett Warner.
Warren Peters or something. A big name player.
Was it Rhett Warner?
No.
Was it Mika?
It was.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I think it was like my first or second shift, 2-on-1. I got absolutely roasted, and he...
No.
He did it, the slide across, where the guy's like, oh, it thinks it's a tap-in, and he slid across and stopped, and I was like, ooh, that was good.
Yeah. Might be something here.
That was real good.
Wow. Noodles wouldn't have had it, eh?
No.
No?
No, he no, wasn't. Sir. He no. wasn't good. He'd have played it differently.
He'd have done a pad stack.
Yeah.
Give something up on the short side to try to keep the pass from going.
Yeah. So we'll have it for you tonight. 6 o'clock warm-up, 7 o'clock puck drop. Going to be a great one. Habs, Flames. Look forward to watching this one and then getting into it tomorrow morning. Some things kind of changing and moving around in our schedule. We were expecting some guests going to change, but we're going to have a good one going tomorrow, depending on who makes it in and who doesn't. We were expected to be joined by Clint Malarchuk, who has his brand new book out.
Yeah, I saw the book.
It looks like Thursday for him.
It's all right.
And there's some other things that I have not yet nailed down.
On the cooker?
Yeah, it was going to be Thursday. I'm wondering if we can maybe do it tomorrow. Anyway, that's where we're at.
Good for you, Pinder.
Are you happy?
I love you.
Are you happy with that?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could have gone worse.
Can you?
Here's a t-shirt.
Now listen, because you're such a good sport.
Yeah.
And you are. And for everybody that follows on Twitter, can you make that your avatar for a week?
The next time we play in fantasy football.
No, okay, come on.
Those will be the stakes.
Can you put it up?
It's possible.
Because it's fresh.
It's by then it'll be. We're going to have to gamble for this.
By then it'll be dated.
Make it your avatar.
I don't think it'll ever be unfunny, and it could be your avatar, too.
We'll come back. Snow show at about 9:20, what you want to talk about. And Stephen Brunt on the way, Sports at 960, The Fan.